going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we'll welcome you in to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt, Red Bird, and Abe Medlock 1 on Twitter. We are, well, not quite a week into games, about half a week into spring training games. Enough that we can start talking about activity on the field, but not enough that we can draw a whole lot of conclusions from it, but that's not going to keep us from talking about it. Alan, I know you missed Saturday's game, but I think you've seen most of the game since then. I've only seen bits and pieces. Just overall, and before we get into like individual players or anything like that, does anything overall stand out about this team so far in the first little bit?
Not particularly. Just the normal stuff of any spring training, and the fact that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, and all that stuff. It's been a little ugly so far, but it typically is. Everybody's working on something or trying to figure something out. I'm glad to have it back, but it's one of those where, like we were saying beforehand, I'd really like to see all the guys, and it's nice to see all the guys involved. And, I saw Ivan Herrera have two at-bats today and just stuff like that. And it's been exciting to watch that. But sometimes the games can be a little bit boring and they just aren't super smooth yet. But as far as standout, nothing yet. There's been a couple of pitching performances we can talk about here in a little bit of guys, not necessarily performance, but that were notable to me, but nothing jumps off the sheet just yet. But more the fact that I'm just glad that you can watch live baseball on television.
Yeah, that's the good thing. It's again, I'll look forward to it when it's on at a time where I can actually spend a lot of time watching it. But it is good to get a little bit here and there and see some of these guys back. So let's talk. I mean, it is funny that you say the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, which they are. I mean, no, I'm not going to argue with it, but we say that on a day where the Cardinals lost 9-6. So, and I think every pitcher the Cardinals had gave up at least one run. But let's talk. We'll start with today and kind of work our way back. And let's talk, I guess the big topic about today is Alex Reyes making his, spring debut. And healthy, but still very reminiscent of what we saw last year. And I know it's hard to draw anything. First day, he said he was kind of pumped up and everything. But I think that's one thing we don't really factor in is, even if Reyes stays healthy, is he going to have the command of things to be an effective guy to pitch? And, I mean, again, one game you can't tell, but it wasn't necessarily exactly what you wanted to see to start with.
Well, I felt like today could go two ways. A, he could be super dominant and start blowing people away, or it could be a situation like today where he's going to be where things could go a little haywire just because he hasn't particularly been on a mound for 3 years and there's a little bit of emotion involved in that. I will say this. I thought about posting something on Twitter, but I feel like I make a lot of excuses for Reyes and, some of the guys that are my favorite, maybe even DeJong at some point. But I could tell from the very first at bat he was super jumpy because the ball was getting out of his hand as quick as possible. He'd catch it and throw. A lot of movement. He was topping out about 95, 96, but just didn't have command. He couldn't spot the fastball was kind of the problem. Throwing hard, but it was all up, and nothing could answer it. He couldn't figure it out after that. Not particularly surprising in that situation. He did have some stuff that looked very, very nice. I felt like Suzuki had a great plate appearance against him, and Soto actually did too, but Soto hit a good pitch. It was up, and he just kind of lofted it into left field for two of his hits. And then he just kind of never recovered from there. Just couldn't really get on track. You know, he was down 2-1, 3-1 a lot, and just couldn't really finish anybody whenever he did have two strikes in one of those situations. I was glad they pulled him out at the point that they did. It was either 25. I thought it was 24 pitches, but Jeff Jones put down 23, so it's somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I was glad they did that. I was wanting them to end on a high note. I was hoping that he would get an out, get out of the inning, and just call it a day, and you know, just kind of go from there. It was one of those to where I was glad to see him on the mound. I anticipate how he feels tomorrow a lot more than I was looking forward to his first appearance. If that makes sense, you know, just to make sure that he's smooth or whatnot. I'll start stressing about performance and where he is probably about the third or fourth, his third or fourth outing. But that was my takeaway from today. I felt like that first at bat just kind of set a tone, and he was moving rather quickly in that one. So I mean, you could just tell the heart rate was up.
Yeah, and it's got to be. I mean, you know, basically missing almost, you know, 3 years to some degree. To even though he's been here and there, you know, he had some chances last year in spring, obviously. I get that he's still not quite comfortable on the mound, or trying to do enough, trying to do too much, trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt again, all this kind of stuff. So I just, you know, again, I'd like to, and hopefully we will next time around, see a little bit more command of his stuff, because that's what we saw last year. That's what his struggle was in the spring. And even when he made the team, you know, he just got to the point where he couldn't throw strikes very well. And I just want to see that he's going to be able to do that. And obviously you want to see that, you're right, you want to see if he's going to be healthy tomorrow. You're going to want to make sure that you don't get any kind of, you know, injury issues, and hopefully the command comes. But that's my real concern besides health, is that he's not going to be able to command, especially his fastball, enough that he's going to be able to be effective. You know, there's a fairly, I don't know, what do you say, maybe 50-50 chance that he comes north with the team, depending on his spring. Because he could, you know, I could see him sending a Memphis to stretch out as a starter, or, you know, depending on the other people that are going north, you know, he's still got some options. I don't know. Is that about what you think, or do you think it's stronger, more likely that he's going to make it?
50-50 is probably, yeah, that's probably fair. I felt like the floor for Reyes going to Memphis is not a bad thing. You know, I think that you and I had talked about that, you know, for his career and what he's gone through, and some of the frustrations last year that led to the broken hand, or the broken metacarpal, whatnot. It's probably a lot of frustration. Everything he's gone through and he would probably frown on a trip to Memphis, but I think that would probably be the most beneficial. I think that, wherever he ends up, I think they do want him to have that Carlos Martinez type role from last year, which I would think would be beneficial to him. So I think that that's probably right. And a lot of that comes from the fact that, you know, he got sent down last year. He didn't get hurt. You know, he got sent mm-hmm. down because of the same problems that we're kind of seeing. So they need to get him back to the pitcher they think he's going to be. The stuff's electric. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked really fluid today. It's a command issue, and I feel like that would be the easiest place to fix it. And he's shown that he can. So it makes a lot of sense, and that seems like, you know, something that you and I talk about on here quite a bit. That would be the path of least resistance.
Yeah, I mean, you got to sit down and start sketching out who's going to make it, and, you know, who has to make it, and, you know, are the Cardinals going to carry four left-handed pitchers, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, what all the issues are. But I mean, again, if Alex Reyes, if this is the worst that we see out of him in the spring, yeah, I think he goes north. I mean, but he just got to show that he can have command and have it on a regular basis. Because if he doesn't, I don't think they do like they did last year. I don't think they just, you know, try to get him in the big leagues. I think if he's still struggling a bit, they're going to be fine to send him, like I said, send him to Memphis and hopefully get a little bit right and then call him back up later on. Speaking of those lefties, though, the one guy that everybody's looking at is Brett Cecil, because obviously he's very expensive and in the last year of a contract that has not exactly panned out, I think it's safe to say. I know his first outing, he pitched, I don't know if he pitched an inning or a little bit more, scoreless. Today he gave up a run, which, like I said, most everybody did. So far, I don't think I got a chance to see him pitch yet. Maybe I did in the first, I don't remember. But if you have, what do you think of him so far? I mean, is it look a lot better than what we've seen out of Brett Cecil for his Cardinal career?
I did not see the Saturday appearance. I was just following on the app and, you know, just would kind of see mm-hmm. that, you know, that I didn't follow it as much as I should have. I was just kind of looking, you know, to see what was going on, see if I'd missed anything big. You know, it's the funny thing today, it's funny that you ask it the way that you do, because his appearance today reminded me of his appearances the last couple of years. Not a lot of rhythm, not a lot of flow. A lot of times I can't tell if that's due to being in spring or if that's who he is. It obviously, almost everybody looked like that today. If I'm not mistaken, I think every Cardinals pitcher today walked a guy.
Yeah, I think I read that.
I was going to say, because there was a ton of traffic on today. So it was one of those that also kind of made the game, you know, so mainly right. boring toward the end. That's the way that I felt. You know, I've heard that, you know, he just looks different, feels different, different demeanor in camp. You never know what to believe this time of year, because you feel like that comes out about everybody. But to me, it seemed like the same pitcher to me, for better or worse. I mean, that's just kind of what it seemed like. And yeah, I'm not sure what to make of that, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's the circumstances in Jupiter or if it's the, you know, the pitcher that he is.
Yeah, I was wrong, actually. Six of the eight pitchers did. Royal, Ramirez, and Alex Fagaldi did not walk a guy, but Fagaldi was the only one. Well, both of those guys didn't give up a run either. Maybe a connection there. And Fagaldi's the only one that didn't give up a hit. You start looking at the lefties. You know, you've got Kim, you've got Cecil. Then you've got Webb, who's out of options as well, and Andrew Miller. I mean, you can't do anything with those guys. I mean, but I can't see them carrying four. Even if Kim's in the starting rotation, it's hard to see them carrying four. So is this a situation where we're going to see a trade at the end of the offseason, or the end of the spring? I know we always talk about, oh, you know, this guy or that guy could be traded if he has a good spring or whatever. We don't often see deals, you know, in that last week or so of spring. But it feels like between these guys and between some other players on this team, this might be the year where somebody gets moved.
That would seem to make a lot of sense. I mean, it's funny. There's so much clutter that I do feel like something like that may happen. And I'll be honest with you. Whenever I saw the Severino news today, the first mm-hmm. thing that popped into my mind, do the Yankees call out Ponce de Leon? I wondered about that. I was thinking, you know, there may be other options out there. And just because we have the Cardinals under a microscope, it's easy for us to draw those conclusions. But that's one of those to where you kind of feel like, I don't know how much Reyes plays into that, because I just don't know how much the expectations are for him. But, and not, I'm not saying for a trade, but I'm saying for how the makeup of the pitching staff is going to look in the long term. But that was one of the first things I thought about today. I could see a situation to where there could be some movement to clear some clutter, something that you and I have talked about they probably could have done, you know, some time ago. I could also see Cecil not being with them, you know, by the end of end of the campaign. But I also, they have that leverage of sending him on a rehab assignment, you know, to figure it out from there. But push that push that decision further down the road. So I don't know. You may be onto something. I think that I don't know. It's just so hard to tell from performance at this point because I try not to look at numbers, and right. it's almost impossible to do. And just like you and I talked about, just due to field conditions and whatnot, it's so hard to do. But it would not surprise me if this is one of those situations where, you know, they do have to move some guys to fill needs somewhere else, or to, you know, it may be a situation of depends on who's calling type situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, yet for the Yankees, they may have guys coming up that they feel like they can fill that spot just as well as Alphonse De Leon, who may be a, I mean, we don't know for sure, could be a quad A type player, or, you know, definitely going to back of the rotation guy at best. But, you know, somebody may could use a guy like that. I mean, I do feel like even though Ponce has another option, I feel like he's a guy that has maybe done all he can do at Memphis, and even with the option might get moved somewhere if he has a strong spring. As for Cecil, I mean, I think he does, I mean, he has the pressure, even though he's getting paid, that contract was big. It's like what, $7 million or something now. Look it up and see, but whatever it is, it's only 1 year of it left. And if he has a weak spring, even if the Cardinals don't typically like to eat money, I could see that. I mean, with as many options as they had, you know, they might want to roll the dice with Tyler Webb again. I could see him being flat out waived if he's healthy. Now, if he's not healthy, obviously, one, you can't waive him, but two, he's also got the insurance that probably helps absorb some of that, and they're not going to toss him off while they have that option. But I feel like for a guy that's a veteran like that, that you wouldn't necessarily think has a lot to prove, he has a lot to prove. Yeah, $7.25 million this year at the end of that contract. So that's not unheard of for them to absorb that kind of money, if, especially if it's somebody like Tyler Webb where they're paying the minimum, you know, to keep him on their squad.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't realize that it swelled to that point. What was it? What was the overall contract?
Well, he actually got.
I didn't know if you had it up. Yeah.
He got $7.75 million in 17, 18, and 19. So it's actually about $500,000 less this year than it has been the first 3 years. But it's pretty straightforward, even contract.
Yeah, it's I guess even with all the complaining, I'm still surprised it's going into its fourth year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It seems like time has flown. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they seem to make it sound like he is, you know, destined for a rehab assignment, and that gives him 30 days to decide what to do, and that would probably be the easiest way to handle it.
It would be, for sure. Yeah, it's been almost, his first outing, I think it was his first outing as a Cardinal, was the time when he threw the ball that stuck to Yadier Molina's chest protector. I mean, doesn't that sound like, it seems like that was like yesterday, and that was 2017. So,
that was his first outing?
It was one of the first, if it's not the first.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Because April 7th, 2017. So, I remember reading just recently, I was like one of his first, if it wasn't his first, it probably wasn't his very first outing, but it was one of the early ones. And that seems like it's been just recently. So time is getting away from us. But yeah, I mean, and again, he had a pretty decent first year of his contract. And then of course the second year was terrible and last year he was hurt. So we'll have to see. You're right. If they have the option to maybe even if, and we'll have to see how well he pitches this spring. I mean, if he pitches and doesn't look like he's hurt, it's going to be harder for them to send him out on a rehab assignment, even though he missed all of last year. You could probably make the argument. But if he's pitching in the spring and not really showing signs of injury, then you've got to make the decision. And because I don't, you know, Cardinals are not one to typically pull a whole lot of fancy strings in the, you know, for service time or, you know, hiding somebody that's not necessarily hurt, although they have done it before. I don't know. I think that's, it's very interesting to watch him this spring, maybe. And Tyler Webb too, because, you know, Tyler Webb had a very good year last year, but it's not necessarily in line with what he's done before. He did struggle against righty some, and with the three batter limit now, that could come into play. He could be a guy that it's easier to trade him because somebody will take up a $500,000 contract versus a $7 million contract. You know, there's a lot of different things. So I think that left-handed relief issue, because obviously Andrew Miller is going to be there, and Kim is going to be there too, one way or another. So the battle between those two guys may be really interesting to see and kind of keep tracking of who's pitching well there, because, you know, there's going to be some cuts and that may be it. I think that may be the most interesting. That may be the most interesting battle in the bullpen right now, I guess, because I'm not sure, you know, everything else. I don't say everything else is set, but it feels like, you know, again, we don't know what Reyes is going to do and things like that. But that seems to be the most obvious place where two people are really battling for one spot.
Yeah. And that's, even with the shockwaves of the, Michaelis situation, you know, which it's one, you just never know where those chips are going to fall really. And, I can see that one happening. I don't know why I get the feeling that they really like Webb, and it may be a situation where they try to find him a spot that's complimentary to him if they were to do it, if that makes sense. And I'm not so sure they feel the same way about Cecil, but I can also see that, hey, he needs a fresh start, you know, type situation. So I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I in the back of my mind too, I kind of wonder where Gomber fits into that. I could see a spot to where Gomber gets that opening day start in Memphis, and he's the sixth, and he's your de facto sixth, really, where I kind of think that was Ponce de Leon. I kind of think that Ponce de Leon is either going to be a big league club or maybe out of the organization. I don't know why I don't know why I get that feeling about him more so than Gomber. I'm not real sure, but that's just kind of the way that I look at it. I think I've kind of felt going into camp like he may be that guy that gets the opening start in Memphis, but I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's going to be opportunities for him out there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Gomber, I mean, he obviously pitched today and for the most part looked okay. I mean, like I said, everybody struggled to some degree, but we'll see what he does the next time out. But, you know, he was also hurt. Was it all of last year or almost all of last year?
Yeah, he had no big league appearances last year. I'm trying to think. He had appearances toward the end of the year, but basically time just ran out for him, you know, with none of the organizations. But I don't know if they would have made that move anyway.
Yeah, I remember when you talked about that was a possibility to bring him up to be another left-handed arm or to fill in some spots because there was some needed rest, it seemed like. But you're talking about Ponce de Leon. Ponce de Leon spent 3 years in Memphis right now. And it, even though he does have another option, you're right, it just feels like there's nothing more he can do there. So I can understand if they're not going to use him in the bullpen. And it feels like, I know he's on the starter regimen this spring, but doesn't it feel like there's got to be more people ahead of him for a last spot? And I mean, you've got Gomber who's got to be in that mix. You've got, and I don't know if he's ahead of Ponce de Leon just because of the health, but you know, Helsley is probably right there. You know, obviously Kim is high up there. I feel like there's some other options that they're going to turn to for Ponce de Leon. So maybe that means he's a bullpen piece, and maybe it means something else. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the feeling that I get as well. I mean, it's almost a deal to where you would think that the plug-and-play factor that Ponce de Leon has to where he could start, be a swingman, and do multiple things. It seems like there would almost be, and this has nothing to do with how they've kind of lined up, But mm-hmm. it almost seems like they're entertaining Gant as a starter more so than they are Ponce de Leon. You know, and I don't, yeah. I don't, that, it just seems a little crazy because that may be the further thing from the truth, but it just kind of feels like that. I mean, he's been really vocal about wanting to start, and they've seemed to have been listening toward that.
And Gant, I know you're a big Gant guy, especially last year, and I know he had a great first half, but Gant, and I know he's been a starter in the past, all that, but Gant just doesn't strike me as a guy that they should be really giving that entertainment to for that spot. Because Gant strikes me as a guy that if things don't go his way, could be cut at the end of spring training. Out of options, he struggled, like I said, struggled last year. If he has a so-so spring and somebody else has a good one, you know, that seems like a path where the Cardinals could, you know, because the Cardinals did, they could have non-tendered him. They didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's not going to cost much. So I'm surprised that if a guy that could be out of the organization at the end of spring by being cut is now in this mix for, you know, a fifth starter spot.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, whenever he was, it was funny because my reaction, he was on one of the morning radio shows last week with from spring training. Mm-hmm. And he made the comment about how he still wants to be a starter and this and this. And I kind of thought, well, you know what? I just don't see it coming. And that was before the Michaelis news. Well, then you could kind of hear some banter that it may happen. Then he does get one of the starts in spring, which would kind of surprise me. And I wonder if they don't think that someone could bring it like he does, you know, upper, you know, 95 plus. But with that changeup where he gets a lot of ground balls, if they're just not in love with that a little bit, you know, that really fits the narrative of how they want things to be with this infield. I think that's why Gomber's going to get a pretty good look because of his ground ball ability. But I do wonder if that's kind of some of the allure with Gant. But to me, I would think, well, you have those guys. You have a Wainwright that's like that now at the end of his career. You have a mm-hmm. Michaelis who's a pitch to contact type guy. You don't have a whole lot of strikeouts after Flaherty and potentially Martinez. That's completely what Hudson is a pitch to contact. And you just wonder if that different look of maybe a Helsley isn't more beneficial to the Cardinals than another guy that kind of looks the same, but that's kind of the mold they like, the 6'5 and over right-handers that produce a lot of ground balls. So I don't know. I feel like that's some of the allure with Gant. I felt like he was so good in the bullpen last year till he ran out of gas or till the book came out on him or however we want to look at it until the second half last year. That I don't know. I just feel like it was a natural fit. I almost kind of looked at maybe he would get it, maybe even a look as the closer a little bit. But I don't know. It was just kind of a weird dynamic. If you remember when we had Jeff on, he made the comment of he feels like Gant's kind of redundant. And it was kind of an odd puzzle piece. So I don't know. I know it's a weird dynamic all around with John Gant.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about it, honestly. I I've not been as high on Gant as some others, so I would be very, disappointed, I think, if he got the fifth starter spot over Helsley. I'm kind of still surprised that there's this competition, if you will. And I guess maybe it is an air quotes type of thing, because it really feels like given everything, given expectations, Carlos Martinez and Kim are going to take those last two spots.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
So this may be a whole lot of talk about nothing, but you know, if Gant got that fifth spot instead of Helsley, I'd be really surprised. I mean, and I don't think it would be the best choice unless, I mean, I guess, you know, again, we still don't know who's going to close games. The Cardinals have talked a little bit about not necessarily using the same guy as a closer and all that kind of stuff, but they may want to have Helsley as an option down there, and that's fine. That's better than some things, but I think he would do better as a starter. Cause like you said, as much as the Cardinals may not necessarily have it, a lot of it, having a guy that can come in there and strike people out quite regularly is a good thing. It tends to be a good thing for baseball, for winning ball games. And Ryan Helsley could do that. So it'd be nice to see him get a shot at that. Now, again, one, it feels like it's full. And two, I mean, we don't know how long Miles Michaelis is actually going to be out.
Yeah,
he had another injection. And maybe you could talk more about this too. He had the injection. What are we looking at? What do we think now? You know, May's the earliest, right? But is it maybe right around beginning of May?
Yeah, that's – and, you know, when we talked last week, I'd made the comment, you get an injection, it's going to be 14 days before you're picking up a ball anywhere near a mound, you know, because it's to cut down inflammation, and they hope at that point you reduce that inflammation. You hope that it's going to be a situation where that's a reduction in pain, and you kind of go from there. Now the first one didn't take, and like I said, the jury's still out on these PRP injections. And what it is it's a situation to where they're looking for these non-invasive treatments. And what they do is they put this under an ultrasound machine to where they can pinpoint the pain and where they inject this. And that's what they do. And if anybody, I don't know if anybody knows what PRP is, but what it is it's basically taking 60 vials of your own blood and it's separating itself. It's separating the blood cells into the most potent healing. It takes the best healing mechanism and sets it aside, and it separates the other elements of your blood away from you. Basically separate it into two different piles, to the platelet rich and then the platelet poor. The platelet poor, some people use it, most people do not, and get rid of it. The platelet rich is an ultra thick. It's you're basically your own healing mechanism. I will tell you, in my 15 to 16 years in orthopedics, for about 3 years, it was all anybody could think of. And it's basically the best way to treat these kind of things without introducing something foreign to your body. And people were using it. And it was got decent results, not great results. It depended on who you talked to or what study that they followed, whether it worked or not. Well, then all of a sudden it just died out like nothing. Okay. It just wasn't going to happen. Well, about 5 or 6 years later, more studies came out, and ultimately this could go into a whole new argument. Basically what happened is insurance figured out a way to bill for it. So then guys started using it again and all kinds of stuff. So it depends on who you talk to, whether the effectiveness of this is true. And there's going to be two different factions on it. To me, the Cardinals medical staff is good. That group that they work with is highly esteemed in the medical community. I can tell you that. I feel like these guys take every opportunity they can to do as much as they can without opening up that body part. And this is one of those, it's evasive in that you get a full needle into a small joint space. But it's a non-invasive as opposed to what could happen if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
So I feel like when you do that, that's going to cut down inflammation. He's probably going to be in a sling the first week. After that, you're going to probably have a little bit of rehab to where he can do some stuff, but then he'll probably start throwing after between 2 to 3 weeks. And that was about the timeline that they were on. Well, even if that's 3 to 4 weeks, which they say, and I felt like that was being fairly conservative, you're going to look at when spring training starts. And that's most likely going to be, you know, another month. So I would say that May is probably the target for that. There's not a whole lot of explanation of why this is happening, which that's the most concerning to me, because I feel like that's one of those to where you're like, okay, are they delaying the inevitable? They say it's not ligament, but a lot of these things have this thing. Whenever it's forearm pain, that's always the first thing you should probably jump on. Not that they should just go ahead and do it. But I am going to have to take some convincing on this. Carlos's shoulder makes a lot more sense in the healing factor that whenever he got his PRP injection than opposed to the elbow that we're in right now with Michaelis. And I'm skeptical. It's one of those to where I've almost kind of forgotten about him now. And I hate that because I love Michaelis. But I'm just like, okay, let's just move forward and we'll figure it out from there, because I expect the worst anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you don't... I had the pain guy get into my mentions, which is never a good thing, talking about this, you know, because he's got his own theories on lots of things that are probably not quite based in reality, it feels like. But, you know, even if it's the case, so even if there's Tommy John surgery coming or whatever, you can't do it until there's some damage. And there's, like you said, they're not showing any damage in the ligament and stuff like that. So, you know, this worth a shot at this and seeing. Trivia note, I almost had a PRP injection a few years ago when I had Guillain-Barré. If they went a different way, that would have been my one tie to being a baseball player. So I guess I missed out on that too.
I've sold units, you know, as an independent guy. I mean, I've actually sold the full unit, and what it comes in is a full machine comes and it separates everything out for you. I mean, you take 60 cc's of blood. I don't personally do it. It'd be the anesthesia or the doctor. Put it in a machine and it breaks it down for you. And the system's really cool. It's just, you get a lot of guys, it's like, I didn't see anything different, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, someone that I work with now, she says that, you know, sometime in the hip capsule, when they would spray some, you know, PRP down, they would actually see some benefit from it. You know, there's another fact, medical science is always changing. There's amnion fluids, you know, that can be processed now that can be shot in there, and that works as well. And some people just say that it makes a big difference on your inflammation. Some say it doesn't make anything at all. So yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's funny. I mean, the system's really cool. It's just, you know, it just, you can get 10 different answers on whether it works or not from 10 different guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed John Raby on Twitter shared out a link of a science article from a number of years ago.
Yeah.
That kind of indicated basically that, you know, that this was not this, you know, miracle cure or anything, that it was kind of, it wasn't pseudo quack science,
but it
was kind of, like you said, it kind of depended, you know, a lot of times it wouldn't do anything. Sometimes maybe it would. So.
And you know, what's funny is I always check those articles just because you can't even tell anymore. And that's a scholarly source. You know, that's something that has been researched and verified. So it wouldn't BS. You know what I mean? One of those things. Yeah. So just it's an opinion heads. It depends on who's talking, I guess.
True. Well, we've talked a lot about the pitching staff. Let's turn a little bit to the offense. Again, you don't want to draw a lot of conclusions in four games. I don't know. I think we would have liked to seen them come out swinging like crazy and really starting to put up some runs and feel a little better. And, you know, really haven't seen a lot of that yet. That's not a real good conducive area for hitting anyway. We know Kyle often talks about the prospects that play in the Florida State League, and when they go to that area in Palm Beach, that they're not hitting. They don't, you know, those numbers tend to take a dive. So it's not surprising too much, but, you know, after the trouble that the Cardinals had last year and then to not go add any bats, I think you'd feel a little bit more comfortable if they'd come out and put up a whole lot of offense. And, you know, they put up six today. That's nice. But I guess we're still looking to see if there's going to be a consistent offense that we've been hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I was glad to see Deion Goody did today. Just because in the first game on Sunday, I felt like he had two at bats that were very similar to the end of the year last year. Now, and that, a lot of these guys sometimes just go up there to look at pitches, you know? So I know you can't make a lot out of it. I did like to see the bomb today. I was glad to see Carpenter's hit in the opener. And I've got to be honest with you, I've been disappointed in Justin Williams. And it was, I know that sounds awful and you're just like, man, it's two games, but you know, big RBI chance, hit into a double play. And, you know, it's not a lot of productive at-bats at this point. And I know that's just not fair to him, and it's stupid for me to really bring up. But you know, it kind of is what it is. And I'm trying to think of any other standouts. You know, it's interesting watching Carlson hit. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, I thought Wong looked really good today, like typical Wong in the left field double. Trying to think if there's any other standouts just right away. Not really. I mean, Munoz hit a bomb today, but it was good to at least see him have a little bit of power, because I just felt like he was zapped of all of that last year. Just didn't make a whole lot of sense. So it was nice to see that, but not really any other standouts. I'm ready for this first week to be over and unfortunately to maybe make a few round of cuts, but they're playing everybody. I think O'Neill is playing tomorrow, which will be nice to see.
Well, everybody's playing tomorrow. They got split.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They do have the split.
Yeah, two games.
Yeah, that is true. So that'll be fun to watch. And then, you know, just hopefully see improvement throughout camp is what I hope you can see.
Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't seen Justin Williams much. I think I saw him strike out on Sunday against the Mets late in the game. Because he was. I don't know if you saw that game or not, but he stood a long time at home plate after being called out on strikes.
Yeah,
which was an interesting choice, you know, in the bottom of the ninth of a spring training game when you're trying to make the best impression you can. I know there were people on Twitter. I think it was today's game, or it must have been today's game. Maybe it was yesterday's game. Complaining where he wasn't throwing. I mean, he's got supposedly a good arm, and he wasn't trying to, you know, throw runners out at all.
I was glad Kyle pointed that out, but go ahead.
Yeah. It just feels like, you know, if you want to make an impression, you know, there's a lot of outfielders ahead of you, and to have any shot at making this team, which is, I mean, he had a really long shot at making this team anyway, but you also want to make it so that when they need an outfielder, they're going to look to you and bring you up sometime this year. And, you know, early returns still. But right now, I don't know that he's done that to the point that, you know, I wouldn't say he's on the first round of cuts, but he may be an early cut just because there's so many other outfielders in camp that they need to look at. And he's not done enough to warrant sticking around.
Sorry about that. I was drinking water, paused it, and forgot about it because I was listening to you. No, you hit the nail on the head.
I put people to sleep before, but I wasn't sure.
No. You know. Yeah, no, that was completely on me. No, the I didn't want everybody hearing me drink.
I understand.
Water, by the way. You hit the nail on the head on that. I thought it was more of a body language type situation to me. And for this, in this team, it's really funny. You see a lot of that, and I'm sure that probably gets addressed behind closed doors a little bit, because I think Willie McGee is really good about addressing those type things. But have you noticed that the thing that gets you called to the carpet the most visibly for this team is the fundamentals, because Shildt drives them home. And not throwing, I noticed that drew a meeting with McGee. And there was a base running issue that surprised me. And I thought that, ooh, you know, that's going to hurt him a little bit. And it feels like those were the things that stick out with under Shildt, which I really like. You know, so that's a good point. I think they'll probably try to get him as many bets as they can, but there's not going to be many left. Because where we think that Carlson has to jump over several people, I think they're trying to convince themselves that he needs to go to Memphis now, you know, because he's going to get a lot of at bats and he's going to get a lot of time. And I don't think he's disappointed anybody the way that he's playing, because basically where he's not putting on an Albert Pujols type clinic when he was a rookie, but he looks like he belongs. And that will be an interesting dynamic. I don't think that it's going to be a make the team type situation, but he's not hurting his chances at all. And and I think that that just kind of pushes Williams a little bit further down the depth chart a little bit. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I like to watch him hit. It's just been a little underwhelming, and it was just a body language issue. I was glad you brought that up about the strike call.
Yeah, it just seemed a lot, especially when, if I'm right, I think the ball got away a little bit, and he just sort of stood there and tried to make his case instead of heading down to first or trying at least. Well, not that he probably would have made it, but still, you know, you want to stand out a little bit in a positive way, and I don't know that he's doing that yet. And yeah, I mean, it's going to come time. I know Mike Shildt said this week that I think it was maybe it was Schaefer, maybe it was Jim Jones that. Jeff Jones, sorry, that asked when to start paying attention to the lineups, and Shildt said the last week. And that's probably when he is, you know, when you start seeing a regular lineup and what it might be in order. But yeah, you got to find a bat for O'Neill and Bader and Thomas and Carlson, probably all four of those guys regularly. To know what you've got out of them. I mean, Dexter Fowler is going to be there, whatever. And I did think it was, again, you don't have the full team and everything like that. I did think it was a little interesting that Dexter Fowler was like the leadoff guy the two times that I, you know, like two games he played, he's leading off.
Which, I've got an opinion about that, but go ahead.
All right, we'll throw it out there.
No, go ahead, finish your point.
No, I don't know that you've got to find time for those guys, and it's going to, you know, those guys need to play and play a lot. You know, again, they do spring training differently. You know, there was what last year we were saying Dexter Fowler should play a lot because he needed to show that he was going to rebound, and he still played just about as much as any regular, you know, he did not play as much as we thought he should have just because of the year he was coming off of. So they do spring training differently than I think they should, but it does feel like there's going to be, you know, there's probably going to have to get Tommy Edman a few times out in the outfield, at least just to give him that option. And, you know, if you're going to take a Yara Munoz, if you want to judge him, he's probably going to get some time out there. It just becomes, as you said, that the at-bats just don't seem to be there for Justin Williams if he doesn't force himself into the issue. And so far he hasn't.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, go ahead with your Fowler.
The Fowler thing doesn't surprise me as a leadoff guy just because I feel like you're getting your maximum value out of Fowler as your leadoff guy. If you can get Fowler at about a 350 on base clip, I think that you've got a pretty good leadoff man. And I think that that's the only way that they're going to kind of maximize the value on him or maximize his assets. Because where it's not necessarily the base stealing threat that he used to be, but he's really good at first to third and scoring from second. If he can prove to get on base, I think that's probably where he will be from the beginning, just because I think that's maximizing the player a little bit with Fowler. So I don't know how much you may see him at some different spots in the lineup. That may be to see if Wong can maybe be your leadoff guy. But I think that you're going to see a majority of the time when Fowler's in the lineup, he's going to be the leadoff hitter. And I think that's probably going to go into the regular season as well.
Well, maybe. If he goes into the regular season, you got to like it. But I also, as you were talking, realize there is that idea that, you know, you put Dexter Fowler at the top of your spring lineup because that means he can get two or three at bats really quickly, and then you can move on.
100%. I agree with that too.
You know, there is some of spring training lineups are just about getting at bats, yeah. And it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. You know, well, you know. You see a lot of, like, that's how I kind of pay attention to, you know, minor league lineups, you know, because they'll get their studs as many at bats as possible, and that's typically in the one or two spot in the order. Doesn't necessarily mean that's what they project those guys to be. But that's kind of the way that I look at spring lineups too. You know, that said, I feel like with Bader the other day, I think that they're going to give everybody the token chance at leadoff, but it may be more just to get it to hit as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Wong at the leadoff spot today. I mean, like a lot of people would like to see that, you know, Wong-Edmund combo, but maybe we'll see that before the end of spring and see how that works. But, you know, because I think, you know, Derek Gould was talking about it in one of the best podcast of baseball recently that Colton Wong has earned higher spot in the lineup than, you know, seventh, eighth or whatever. But his skill set is such that I mean, if he's not batting sixth or seventh, he's almost got to be batting first or second, right? He's not going to be batting in the middle of the lineup. So it becomes interesting to see. And, you know, batting him second behind Fowler, if Fowler's going, that's not a bad thing either.
No, I completely agree. That's and I mean, I thought that Wong took just a very professional at bat today, you know, and I thought it looked good. And it's one of those to where he just plays with such a different confidence now than he used to. Whenever we were always concerned about that, but he drove it and just it was like he was gliding in the second. You know, he looked really good. I mean, it's just a different player than we thought about even as soon as 3 years ago.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I was afraid I left that on pause there.
I had turned mine down.
Okay,
I had turned mine down because my family's getting a little noisy in the background. So I had turned mine down for a minute. So I think it's good to see that. Yeah, I think it was good to see Tyler O'Neill get a home run in the first game. It was probably good to see Harrison. I think Harrison Bader was more in wind dated, but it was still good to see, you know, Bader get a hit and maybe get a little confidence there. You know, so far, it's four games and these guys have played like maybe one or two of them. So it's really hard to draw a lot of conclusions out of it. But, you know, it's not a terrible start to the spring. I mean, they're 1-2-1. You'd like them to have won a few, you know, more than they'd lost. It really could have won that game on Sunday, it felt like. Mm-hmm. You know, I almost did. You know, got the guy thrown out. I think Edmund got thrown out at the plate. You know, they put a rally together in the ninth, which was nice to see. But, you know, so far, so good, I guess.
Yeah, that's a get. Yeah, let's get about, you know, another about midweek next week, and this time next week, and see where they are. Be interesting. You know, you have the two games tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, is the last game that, like, Brebbia and a few of the others get their first appearances. So that'll be something, and then we kind of start seeing how they match up innings from here or there. But, I mean, just by appearance alone and attitude alone, it's intriguing to see Martinez right now. You know, Carlos looks really good. A couple of the other standouts that I'm trying to think of. Not overly concerned about Goldschmidt, the elbow. I feel like this is kind of precaution, and this is kind of how it works. I mean, a lot of these regulars could probably show up March 15th and be fine. You know what I mean? But there's a lot that they have to weed out. So it's nice to see some of the guys that we've heard about forever, though, with being Gorman. And I like seeing Gorman and Carlson in the lineup today. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, Ravello's getting a long look. So, you know, it is what it is at this point, but it's still nice to see and to see some of these guys and, you know, see where they are here in the next week or so.
Yeah. Cardinals go, they have one game, they'll be hosting the Marlins, and the team that goes on the road goes to Houston's ballpark. Be the first time the Cardinals have played the Astros since the whole cheating scandal thing, and they won't get a chance to play them in the regular season. So it'll be a bit interesting to watch that, I guess. Houston's had a kind of a rough go of it, it sounds like, in the spring, and you know, you got to expect that's going to continue at least through the first half of the season. I don't know if people will finally get tired of booing them later on or not, but the first little bit of the season, especially on any road trips, it's going to be tough on those guys.
Oh man. I mean, it was funny. There was somebody in defense of them today on Facebook. And like I said, on Facebook, you can't, I mean, that grain of salt, definitely. But it was funny because it brought about some interesting comments, you know, today. And I was like, you know, maybe their punishment, maybe there makes some sense to this punishment because they are going to have a long year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see because, you know, they've got their early spring reaction has been really rough at their home ballpark.
Yes.
And granted, that's, you know, it's Florida and a lot of those people can travel and a lot of those people are just there because that happens to be the team that practices there. You know, it's not necessarily the diehard Astro fans that are there. But so I think it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of reaction they get, you know, opening day in Houston. I mean, are they going to get, you know, I mean, This is a team that went to the World Series. This is a team that should, that will be raising a pennant in the first or second game. You know, are they going to get a warm reception? Are they going to get booed? You know, it's difficult, and I'm looking forward. I'm going to start the Playing Pepper series next week on the blog, and you know, Houston's really close to the end, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what some of the Houston writers that have agreed to help out are going to say about this team, because it's a lot. I mean, it's a struggle for fans, I would imagine. I can't to deal with that, to want to cheer and recognize these guys for doing something good, but on the flip side, knowing, you know, how tainted everything has been over the last 3 years. It's a pull for the fans, I would think.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not even the person to tell you what right or wrong is in the way to handle this situation, but I felt like the Astros have handled it terribly from a PR standpoint. You know, from the beginning, I was like, this is really bad. And it hasn't seemed to improve.
No. To be fair, I don't know. I think anything that they might try to do was going to be taken wrong anyway.
Yeah.
Even if they had done it better. And I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, that the press conference that they had was it was just as stilted and you know, showing lack of emotion. But you know, then Carlos Correa comes out and he says some really good stuff and really seems to take responsibility. And then he gets into it with Cody Bellinger. I think that some of what Correa said, even in that regard, was understandable. But you know, you don't get the benefit of the doubt when you've had the situation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. I don't know what they could do to make people appreciate them. I mean, there's going to be people that are just going to jump on every little thing that they do and say, oh, you can't defend yourself or, you know, and that's fair. I mean, they've brought this on themselves. But, you know, even if they tried to be good, tried to do, you know, to be sincere in apologizing, I don't know how many people would accept that and try to move on. I think there's just going to have to be this time of public flogging before people can move on from anything.
And it's funny too, is Bregman and even Altuve to a point, it doesn't really bother me to see them get beat up a little bit. Correa, it did in the beginning just because I hold him in high regard because he's one of the better players I've seen come through Tulsa. You know, it was impressive. But he's kind of doubling down on stupidity every time he talks. And that sounds really dumb to say that because I agree with you. It's been the downward trend of things that he said. And I don't know if you saw it yesterday, they were getting beat up by that home crowd. The boos and everything. Well, when somebody asked Correa about it, he completely acted like, you know, I'm the in-tune athlete and I didn't know. And you could tell he was lying. You know what I mean? It's one of those, and you're just like, just wear it. You know, just wear it once. Just say, hey, this is going to be like this all year. You know, that would be more endearing to people than to do the bravado crap to where everybody knows. But, you know, that's the thing with me. And I'm just like, man, now it's like, I don't really even care, you know, to hear him talk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they've come out with this idea that, you know, we're going to make people recognize what this – it's almost like they're the underdog type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really use this – I mean, you can, I guess, but, you know, you're not going to win by using this as motivation of everybody's against us. Well, everybody's against you because of what you did. It's not unjustified. It's not that they think you're a bad team because everybody knows it's a very good team. It's a team that unfortunately has, you know, accentuated that or enhanced that by illegal means. So, you know, and I think it feels like some of the comments that Josh Reddick has said that just have this idea that there's, I mean, again, I don't know anything about these guys. I don't watch them enough, but some of the comments that I've seen, you know, especially from Reddick, it feels like there's not that remorse. It's that idea that we're saying we're sorry because we're supposed to. And, you know, we're not doing it now because we got caught, which, I mean, that's everybody. Anybody, nobody stops doing something like that unless they get caught to some degree or it stops working. But I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not going to be terribly sympathetic to the Astros, maybe a little bit, just because they are going to get so beat up. I'm not, and again, not saying they didn't bring it on themselves, but you still got to think, man, that's a lot to go through. But I really, those Astro fans, I mean, they went through, you know, they went through those terrible years at the beginning of the last decade where, you know, Houston's drawing 0.0 ratings and, you know, they're losing over 100 games and all this. And then they, you know, they build it up and they go through that to see them get back and they see them win the World Series and they go, you know, to the World Series twice in their years. And you know, you're feeling really good and, hey, that was all worth it. And then to have that all not taken away, but really, really tainted, really, you know, like you can ever, you know, if you're an Astros fan, how often are you going to wear that 2017 World Series shirt that you bought, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to do it. You know, you can't even right now go out and say, hey, yeah, I'm an Astros fan. Oh, you are. Well, you know, here's a trash can, you know, that kind of stuff. It's rough on them. And I'm glad, you know, and again, it's very interesting to see maybe what comes out of the Red Sox thing. You know, we've heard that they were supposed to be announcing a report last week and that didn't happen, obviously. I mean, if you want to be suspicious, it's interesting that the Red Sox investigation feels like it's taking longer, that maybe they're trying to let it, you know, because the Red Sox are a different organization, maybe a team that the baseball wants to protect a little bit more. I mean, if you want to be suspicious, I don't know that I believe that, but it's possible. But, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how people react to the Red Sox, if and when anything comes out. And because there's not, I mean, we've talked about the Red Sox, but I don't think people are reacting to the Red Sox like that, even though they have cheated and stuff, or at least that's the indication, you know, and they fired Cora and stuff. But that, maybe because there's not a report on that as much, it feels like the focus has all been on Houston, and Red Sox are kind of sliding under the radar right now, and maybe that'll change with the report. But for right now, it feels like it's a little imbalanced to some degree.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's one of those, they've done a good job suppressing it, but it's still kind of that dark cloud. You know, the Astros are taking all of it, and that's to the benefit of the Red Sox at this point. But, you know, if anything comes out and they verify that they've done things similar to what Houston did, it's not going to be good.
Probably not. Although, I mean, I will say, if it's a, you know, the Red Sox scheme, if I remember right, was basically they were doing the live video, figuring out the signs, but then they were, you know, basically giving signs to a runner to signal. I mean, it was still something, but it wasn't as overt as the trash can, banging the trash can. I think that's what has maybe captured fans, that just a blatant cheating that Houston was doing. And it's been much more documented than Red Sox has. But, you know, if the Red Sox were using the video monitor, not in a gray area, I mean, it was obviously wrong, but not maybe as blatantly as Houston. I don't know. That may affect perception as well. I think people can just really grasp this idea. And, you know, John Boy was out there breaking down the videos. You could hear the trash can. You could see it's very clear that they were doing this. I think that's going to be more so than, you know, signaling runners and stuff like that, that, hey, there's a fastball coming, tell the batter. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to make that difference in degree is going to make a difference in how people react or not.
Yes. I mean, great question. I mean, it's, you know, is the fact that Cora, is he going to be the fall guy for the Sox, that they, you know, kind of the self-imposed penalty, you know, one of those things. I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know. That's an ugly deal.
Yeah, definitely is. Well, you know, and again, knock on wood and everything else, but it does feel like the Cardinals have made it a point not to go in that regard, you know. So hopefully the Carlos Correa or the Chris Correa, different Correa issues were the worst that we have got to see from the Cardinals. I sincerely hope so. I would not want to have to deal with all of that. Alan, I'll be with you again next week. Again, we'll have a little bit more. It'll be a little bit closer to opening day, maybe a little bit more clear on a few things. We'll have seen Carlos Martinez go at least once, depending on when we record, maybe twice. And that may give us some idea of what he's doing in the rotation. And we'll just see how everybody else is going. I just wanted to, before we wrap it up, though, say thanks to everybody who's been listening. The listens have been going up. We appreciate that. And if you have the chance, especially if you're using iTunes, get in there and rate and review us. The more you do that, the more that it's going to show up. There's going to be some people probably looking for Cardinal podcasts as the season starts. And we'd appreciate, you know, the more ratings and the more reviews we have, the higher that it'll show up when they do a search. So we would appreciate it if you're enjoying it. And we assume you are because you haven't yelled at us too much and we like that. So just if you do us a favor to rate and review the show and give us feedback, let us know what you like, what you don't like. We're always up for talking about some of the things. You can always tag me C70 or Alan A Bedlock 1, and we're glad to talk baseball with what we're talking about here, or even if it's another subject we didn't bring up. We'll be on Twitter quite a bit during this season, so hit us up. We'll talk with you. So until next time, that is Alan. I am Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.